Anita's. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, Pastor Keith, I think probably you prepare your sermon in the park next week. It's wonderful to be with you, and then I would like to introduce myself a little bit, and then we'll go in. Can I use this? Here, yes? Thank you. I just want to show you and introduce myself a little bit, and then I think probably for some of you that probably don't know who, I'm using this picture. Only pictures, okay? Those are letters. I grew up in China, and then born and raised there, and then I left China in 1981, so which is the 30 years anniversary day. So the September 11, oh, that's my childhood, okay? That's just before I learned how to cook. Yeah, and then I learned to cook when I was 7. So when the Cultural Revolution started, and then both of my parents put into the jail, so I have to learn to take care of myself. So that's just kind of a little picture. This is when I left 1981. So I have a special relationship with the Pacific Grace because the first church that I went to is Pacific Grace. So I will tell you a little story. That's kind of when I was about 21 years old. So I'm still stay the same, I think. Yeah, so I have a family with two forensic scientists in my house. So my father and mother are very interested in dead bodies. So they choose the profession and then to do examination, you know, those things. So, and then until now, I still cannot find any family that has, you know, parents both in the same profession that, you know, dealing with dead bodies. So my parents are. So I was kind of fell into that family. So 1981, September 11, actually that was my first day, went to East Hastings. You know where it's the Hastings Street? Used to be the Woodwoods. Okay, I went there for my first day class. That's my first day of North American experience. And then the first day, my teacher asked me, you should start your English from ABC. I was just, what? I spent 10 years in China learning English in my school time. And then you told me that I need to start all over again. Yeah, of course. In China, you learn English, it's this way. You look at, you learn it, and then you memorize it, and then you only speak to yourself. Do you understand that? Okay, so even now, okay, when you're going to China and also in school, you learn, memorize the vocabulary every day, but you didn't have any chance to speak anybody. So I have a language that which is called dead language. So I learn. But you know what? Some things happen. This name, the one that besides me called Tony, is my cousin. And one day I went to visit him in his house after the dinner. He asked me, do you want to go to a Bible study? And he said, what in the world you're talking about? And then he said, it's a group of Christians meet together, study the Bible. Then I asked, who are the Christians? I never met them. So, and then turned out he gave me this answer. He said, a group of people love to make friends. They're called Christians. Then I say, can I go? Then he say, yeah, go. Then I went to PNE, into someone's house, not PNE. And then had the first time in my life that, you know, met Reverend Enoch Wong. And then sit on the floor learning the Bible. Of course, I tell you, also one little tiny story that behind that is my wife also in there. Well, of course, at that time, it's not, okay? Yeah. So after the Bible study, I asked Pastor Enoch Wong, I don't know if you asked those questions or not after one Bible study. And he said, how can I apply to join your party. I thought about it, it's the Communist Party. So how can I join? I'm waiting for it's a piece of paper to sign up. Then the pastor say you don't have to. You're welcome to come every time that we have a Bible study. That was the first time I met a group of Christians. They're so lovely. But what happened is, since that time, my life started to change because I met my Lord Jesus Christ through them. So then Pacific Grace becomes part of my life, and then I think probably the whole part of my life. So this is 1982, March 21, and then we baptized in Culloden Church. And then life goes on. But I thank the Lord for Pacific Grace that to raise us up and then to encourage a group of young people in from this church to be sent out or to be minister for the gospel. So that was the time. Show you. This is my family today. So God really bless us. We marry at Pacific Grace. Yeah, and then God gave us two sons and two daughters. Yeah, and then both daughters are, one is born in Venezuela when we were doing mission work. The other one is we carry her over and then give birth in Burnaby Hospital. So 30 years in life, 30 years in Christian life, in the ministry, and then 30 years with the blessings. So I thank the Lord for Pacific Grace. It's a wonderful experience for our life, for my family, and then for myself. So today I want to share, one last thing. Okay, this is what we are doing right now, is in Sichuan, working with the earthquake and victims, and then working with the education departments to train teachers how to do counseling, to train teachers how to really minister to children. Okay? My time's up. May the 12th. We know that earth was shake in Sichuan. And then so many school and buildings corrupt. And then also so many people perish. There is also over 20 million people being infected in the whole earthquake area. The whole earthquake area covers 500 kilometers wide and then 1,000 kilometers long. So it's a huge area, and then there's so many people that, you know, being perished. And then we will rush in to that mission and then try to find way to minister and then to serve those people. So our team, a group of Chinese brothers and sisters, and then we want to find what way that we can really help a group of young children or young people. That was our mission. So we went in there. We know that if conducting counseling service and then to do individual counseling, it would take a long time. So what we do is so then we pray and then we ask the Lord, maybe some way that we can do it. Then we create a program called Hug Therapy. So giving a hug. And then we didn't know that, because how the government of China will receive that. And then I think we all Chinese know that, you know, hugging in our family is sometimes pretty odd. Do you feel that? Giving a hug? I never hug. When I was before my 21 years old. My parents basically sent me to the kindergarten and then raised me up through the school system. And then in China, that's what. So we went in there and then we introduced that program. So what we do is so we make a little tiny teddy bear. And then put in, do you know how to read Chinese? So come to China, we teach you. Okay? There's two characters. One is a joy, the other one is peace. So we make that, and then purposely, it's just kind of a little teddy bear with the message of hope, with a message of peace. But let the children to choose, let the children to learn. But we're using that as an entry point, that, you know, to teach them how to hug one another. And then we teach them how to using that, you know, God's given to arms, and then that to what? To do the healing. And then for the last 3 years, This training being ran over again, that there was over 6,000 training was conducted in the earthquake area. And then that's over a million children and teachers that are being learning how to do that. We had a fantastic time. And also besides that, we know that we cannot send gospel tract, and then we cannot give him Bibles in that time. So what we do is we made a whole little mini-series of a counseling, grief counseling books. 6 books that, you know, with a message inside. Of course, no verse. We cannot put Bible verse, otherwise they will not allow us to publish. Within 1 month, we get an approval. And then the one that will approve is the relative of Chairman Mao. And then he looked at it, and then we told him, honestly, we told him that this book contains some message about faith. So you got to be careful. Then he went through it, and he said, China needs something to believe. Put a stamp, and then we publish. And then praise the Lord. And then right now we're using these books in the school, and then to teach them how to do grief counseling. Teach them the anger therapy. So all this. But praise the Lord. This is the work that we're doing. Okay? And then besides that, we do summer camp, and then with the high school and all this. What in the world that, you know, for me, that you, for us to involve in this ministry? In 1981, God just had a special arrangement through my family that, you know, I came over as an overseas student. Came over to learn, study, and all this. But you know what? God has his purpose. I never met Christian before, but he arranged all this time and then came over. When I met them, my course of life changed. My journey with him are changed. So, and I would like to share with you the verse from Acts chapter 20, verse 22 to 24. Can you turn with me to this verse? Or it's printed in your bulletin also. Okay. Can we read together? Yes? Okay, 1, 2, 3. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that persecution and hardships are facing me. However, I consider myself worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task to testifying to the good news of God's grace. In 1982, when I got baptized, then this verse laid in front of me. Then I felt a very strong calling that God wants me to return to China for my own country. And I didn't know what to do. I couldn't reject, because the joy to become a Christian, the joy to experiencing new life, and then the joy to fellowship and worship with Pacific Grace Chinese Church members, it just overwhelmed me. And I really felt that, you know, I want to share this joy with my family, my parents, and then also my country. But I didn't know how to do and what to do. So the first thing I felt I need to do is go to the Bible school. And then I went to the former pastor of Eno Wong. And then I said, what can I do? And then we said, well, let's apply to Perry Bible Institute. So I wrote a letter, I filled up the application form, everything I sent in. But at the same time, I sent a letter to my parents to ask them to get them permission from China. But in the letter, what I did is, I make a photocopy, because they're in China, so I photocopied a Genesis first chapter a little bit, and then I photocopied John chapter 3 verse 16, and then I photocopied some verses and then combined them together as a letter, and then I wrote it and then share the reason why I'm going to the Bible school. Then in Chinese, you know, san ho yun can be related to sometimes san king bang ho yun, something like that. So I don't know what happened. My parents read it and then sent back the letter to me. And then to say, no, you shouldn't go there. And then see, we allow you to become a Christian. We allow you to baptize. Now you are thinking about crazy things and then going to something called mental hospital. So, and then I would just stop right there. Whoa, no. That's what, no, I mean. So I would bring that letter, went to see Pastor Wong, and then Pastor saying, yeah, if I read that letter, I thought that you are mentally, you know, has some disorder. Then I said, what? No, I try to explain the gospel. At the same time, tell them that I'm going to pursuing a ministry that, you know, I felt that God is calling me to do that. Then I said, no, the letter you should be, put it this way. So then we wrote the letter, and then, you know, totally different way. One, the pastor will ask me, what is your parents' wish when they send you for overseas study? Then I say, well, my parents always want me to become a medical doctor. Oh, the pastor and the pastor wife said, this is great. What? You're going to the higher level. It's higher than the medical school. What? To a Bible school is higher than the medical school? Well, in the world, I say, well, you know, the medical doctor is only dealing with a physical need. But you're going to help spiritual need. It's higher than the physical need. Oh, okay, that makes sense. So, one of the best, you know, school that, you know, to teach you beyond medical service. Okay, that. And then the second, you're going to a best language school in the world. What? A Bible school. Is the best language school? Oh, yes. Because we study the Word of God. And then also, the school, Prayer Bible Institute, is training lots of students to do translation work for the Bible. They're one of the best. They said, okay, that's good. So I wrote it. This is the one of the best language school in the world. So I wrote it down. And then the second one, the third one is, you know what? It's the cheapest in the world. I mean, tuition. You can afford it. I said, why in the world I can't afford it? Because I still depends on their support and everything. Then he said, because it's by faith, the journey that was started. Because for every student, you go in there and then you have to trust in the Lord, his provision. It's one of the cheapest, but it's one of the richest. So I wrote it down and he said, okay, I take that. Then I wrote it down, I put it in. So the journey started. It's risky, you know, I tell you what. Because you're asking parents not going to pay. Ask my grandpa, my uncle from Hong Kong, start to support an overseas student, which is, you know, unthinkable. And then totally trust in the Lord to provide that for 4 years Bible school. That's my first experience. What you mean by risky? Then I wrote the letter and then lay hand on the paper, the piece of paper, and then send it out. Not too long. Well, that takes 2 weeks at that time. Well, a whole month, the letter returned to me. And then I opened it. Both of my parents agree with joy. And then we believe that this is one of the best school that you're going to. And then we apport with you. So, and then not just that. Alongside, we'll attach $3,000 that to support your first year's tuition. Wow, we praise the Lord for this. It's not risky. It's a very rich journey that we start. But since then, God taught us so many different ways of mission. But when we start to return China, it was 10 years ago, 2001, November, September 11. And then we were in the Richmond. At that time, I was pastoring a Richmond Chinese Baptist church. Then One day that we received, that morning, I think probably some of you watched the TV. I watched that. I thought that it's a Hollywood movie, you know, airplane. Then the second airplane hit the building. Then I said, this is a wheel. And then later, we got a phone call from RCMP, and they said, can you come and then try to help us translation for the passengers, stop by in Richmond. So in the afternoon, we all gather in Thompson community and then try to arrange and then to receive the passage, but the passengers that came over. And then that day, turned my life the other way. And then I asked the Lord, when I should return to China? Then without delay, 2002, I took two trips back to China and then tried to explore how can I return to minister to my people. For all these years, Lord, you've been prepared, and then you tried to stop me not going back. 1988, the first time that we, you know, when the mission conference of Pacific Grace had, and then we thought that we were going back to China. So I went back to China, visited my parents, and then both of my parents hold two hands like that. Stop! Don't come back to China, because they're still in the position. And then the work, the ministry that I'm involved will be jeopardized their work. So then I say, no way, not at this time yet. So God just purposely redirect our traffic to Venezuela. That was a little, and then I was just, why Venezuela? Of course, Pacific Grace, you know, support us, send us. Four of us went to Venezuela and then planted the church. But we thank the Lord for that wonderful 7 years experience that learned how to plant churches, how to learn to ministry to the people that are over there. And then now there is in their 20 years anniversary. And then we thank the Lord for that. I'll tell you a little bit of story. I think probably you need to hear that. Around September 1991, and then that was 20 years ago, and then the Venezuela church decided to, four months ago, we decided to buy our own building for church. But the owner didn't want to sell the house after all the deals, but the money was sent from here, about 100,000 Canadian. So we have that cash in our hand, but the deal didn't fall through. So then we hold the money, then we decided let's print to the bank. But in that time, Venezuela is a little risky, you know. Then one of the deacon in our church suggests that why not we print to a 3 months term deposit with a 74% interest. The highest interest that I ever had. So we decide, we pray, and then we just pray and trust the Lord that we protect that money. So when we send the money, deposit the money, the news came. 21 bank, half of them ran bankrupt. And then our bank, but the bank that we deposit into, didn't. But that creates the anxiety. And then we said, what in the world that we're doing a risky business? Why are we doing this? So all those things that it happens to us. So we pray, and every day almost, I went to the bank. And they say, when's the turn come up? And then let me know. I want to get this cash as fast as possible to get hold of it. But you still have to wait for 3 months. So at the end of August, that we find the house, and then we try to make all the deals ready. Then when the page turned to September, we quickly got our cash, and then paid, and then got the house. And then you know what? 2 weeks later, the bank went bankrupt. Wow, I just tell you that little short story. It was so many unknown. It was so many unknown, but thank the Lord that, you know, in mission, we're experiencing lots of unknown, but it looks like risky, But at the same time, his protection always there. So 2001, then we decided, started to do that. And then so we went back and then we're looking into the ministry that God is doing that. And then I thank the Lord for Pacific Grace. They also felt a call and then to support us continue from that time on. In the verse, Paul mentioned several things that, you know, to draw our attention. For this mission, there's so many things that are unknown. Even though he knows Jerusalem quite well, even though I know China so well because I was born there, but you know what? When you journey with God, there's so many unknown that started for us. And then God really welcomes us is the faith and the trust. Sometimes you have to trust the provision. I mean financially. And also sometimes you will trust the co-workers that he's calling to work with you. And then sometimes the assignment or the project that God is calling you to that. But in all the way, God is just there and then to teach. And then Paul knows that, so that's why he wrote that. But he has something that sure in his verse that told us that one thing. The Holy Spirit is the guiding one. The Holy Spirit is the one that always protects us, that lets you know that God is always in his mission with you. If you are willing to listen, if you are willing to follow. And Paul also mentioned that this is a journey that is not an easy journey. In mission, really, it's a quite challenge. It's fun, actually. Very fun, because you walk into the unknown. But at the same time, you know, there's something might happen, might cause dangers to you. Well, even in Venezuela, I just sure that, you know, for buying a house, that meant. And then also, Venezuela is not a very peaceful country. And then Chinese living in Venezuela is a little different, because when the local people to see Chinese, they always think about the dollar sign. Because most of Chinese in Venezuela has business. So they think that they have pockets, all the pockets of money. So when they see Chinese, they want to grab you. And then they think about they can, you know, get some money. So one day, my wife went to the embassy to put down our passport to extend our passport. So all the documents there. And then, but at the same time, we have the local ID, but it was expired because it takes a long time to renew. So we hand in our application form for half a year, still didn't renew. So and then we're still holding the old ID number, is expired. So there was the police, the soldier that, you know, get hold of her. And then because the expired ID, and then she was sent to the jail. And then there's no phone, no contact at that time. Cell phone is not available. And then so she couldn't, and then she just pretend that she didn't understand Spanish. And then so try to, I don't know, she probably tried to yell or whatever, you know. Then the police has no way to communicate to her. So allow her to make a phone call for 1 minute. And then that 1 minute saved her life. She called me, and I was in the Bible study, and then she get hold of me and then say, I'm in jail, and then come to rescue me. And I said, where in the world are we in jail? This is a free country. Then she said, they get hold of me. I don't know where, but just get hold of me. So, and then we try so many ways to try to rescue her. So she was to stay there for 5 hours. If, you know, we didn't rescue her, and then she might send her, they will probably deport her to Colombia. It's risky. But you know what? Thank the Lord. He has a purpose. For that 5 hours, we earned 5 years of residence. So because we asked one of our friend to try to help her get out of the jail. And then the friend is really, had a very good connection with the president. So then say, oh, you have a trouble with your ID? Yeah, we try to apply for our residency and then just couldn't get it. So then what happened? And they say, I can help you. Then get hold of it and then put it into the immigration, and then we got 5 years. So it's risky, but at the same time, God has all the different way. Paul knows, but Paul has, and then he mentioned that he wants me that the present and then the hardship are facing me. But you know what? He's crazy. He knew all this, and he still go. I tell you what, that's something, because he know that he has a task to finish. And then he knew that, because before he met Christ, he was a crazy guy, doing all the crazy things, and then persecute Christian. But when he find the Christ, when Christ found him, he knew that he's the new life changer. And then he cannot hold that joy, and then he cannot hold that things anymore. And then he has the good news, want to share with others. And then he want to catch back the time that he has lost. That's what Paul is. So in his heart and in his mind, there's no more danger, because he knew that this is the work that God wants him to do. When I become a Christian, I thank Paul. That passion also fills in my heart. I just felt that too. I have the complete 21 years in China that without Christ, without joy, without happiness. And then now I found Christ. Now I have him inside of me. And I know that there is only 1.3 million billion people without this chance. And without this joy. And then all they live is still living in hate and hardship. And then for me, I felt that compelled that, you know, this is an obligation for me. And then I need Lord to help me to do that. I always encourage Christian, because for all this year in my life, I don't know why, there's a fire or there's a passion want me to run the race. I love Paul when he described Christian life. It's not walk. It's not slowly. It's not like, you know, the slow motion. He always talks about make, you know, fight the good fight, right? Run the race. He's not talking about a mediocre, and he's not talking about a slow pace of a Christianity. He's talking about a fast pace. Why? Because he doesn't want to see people perish without Christ. And he doesn't want to see that, you know, there's a delay for his good news to be shared. Yeah, you might think, well, I become a Christian, that's done. No, more than that, because people need the Lord. People need you to help them to understand. And then I thank Paul that, you know, this is a race for waste by faith. I run. I continue to run. I learn to run for the Lord, because I would like to share the good news with my countrymen. It's a task that I felt that God just gave to me. Today, at the last, I really want to share what happened in China. Where is the burden that burdens me? Continue to fly back and then back and forth and then try to help. There's about 400 million young people in China from the age 1 to 20. 400 million. And then they all live or in the country system that, you know, there's no way that, you know, you can do witness that, you know, as a church, because the children are either in the dormitory or live in the dormitory. And not just that, the whole government system is controlled for all these young people. You know that. And then nobody can really try to witness to them under the 18, because it's the law. But that becomes our huge burden, because those young people don't have the chance like you to worship the Lord. One of the churches that we helped for the last 5 years, they have 10,000 people members. Their Sunday school, you know how many people every Sunday for their children's Sunday school? Can you give a number? For 10,000 member, their Sunday school for children. Can you give me a number? Try to guess. Song leader. 20. The number is right. It's for the teenagers. Okay. For the younger children, for 10,000 members church, their Sunday school, children's Sunday school, can you give me a number? Come on. Any number. Huh? 5,000? That's our prayer. It's only 250. Only 250. So where are the children? Many churches that you went and then you visit, you only see seniors. Just a huge, huge task in front of us. The children need the Lord. So right now, we in China, we work with the education system. Really, that, you know, praise the Lord for the last 3 years through the earthquake. Now we work with the teachers. And then teachers become Nicodemus and then come to see the Lord. And then please continue to pray for us. And then we do summer camp with the education department. And then we have the contract to make a Wana Cup. You have a Wana Cup, right? But it's different format. But we try to, in whatever way, that we pray the Lord that will give us the entrance, that, you know, to get into the children, get into the youth world. So please, pray for us. We'll continue in his ministry. But we thank Paul, because this verse touches me, and it becomes my life verse, that I let you know that I want to run for him. And I pray for more people will run for him, because this is a race. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks that we have the privilege of freedom to sit here or stand here to worship you in our choice. But Father, today we would like to pray the blessings will come here, and then there will be more and more people that to realize there's so many young people and children still don't have this opportunity or this choice to worship you. And then so many of them don't even know you. So Father, please help us. Raise up your worker. Send your worker to finish your task. Continue, bless us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.